Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to continue the study of the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, he prayed three times this prayer. We introduced this in our last class, and we always like to read the devotional readings associated with these Sunday school lessons. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote concerning these prayers for the Sunday schools of February the 15th, 1925. And it was his suggestion that the devotional reading should be the 22nd Psalm. This psalm has an inscription. It's for the chief musician, set to Ajilith Hashshahar, a psalm of David. I will read that now. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not. In the night season am not silent, but thou art holy, and thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, Commit thyself unto Jehovah. Let him deliver him, let him rescue him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, since my mother bare me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gape upon me with their mouth. As a ravening and roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a pot shred, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and upon my vesture do they cast lots. But be not far off, O Jehovah, O thou my succorer. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, yea, from the horns of the wild oxen. Thou hast answered me. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will praise thee. Ye that fear Jehovah, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard, Of thee cometh my praise in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise Jehovah that seek after him. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto Jehovah. All the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is Jehovah's. He is the ruler over the nations. All the fat ones of the earth shall eat and worship. And they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he that cannot keep his soul alive. A seed shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord unto the next generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done it. Before we get into our lesson, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's turn to our Sunday school lesson. Jesus has gone to the Mount of Olives to pray. To get there, he came out of Jerusalem and crossed the Kidron Valley. Kidron means black torrent. It flowed between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, running only during the rainy season. Gethsemane means oil press, and was doubtless an olive orchard, probably enclosed, where oil was pressed out of its fruit. It was on the western slope of the mountain, just across the brook, and hence close to Jerusalem. McGarvey noted 8 old and gnarled olive trees in the traditional Garden of Gethsemane. One of these trees measured 24 feet in circumference, and another one 21 feet. It is hardly possible that these were there in Christ's day, but they have sprung from others like these. This traditional garden now contains a half acre and is surrounded by a walk wall about 10 feet high, which was built by the monks of the Latin Church in 1847. It is interesting to know that the Greek church in rivalry has fixed another spot about 100 yards northeast from this one at Gethsemane. This is no worse than denominational and sectarian rivalry among Protestants in erecting in pride and vanity costly and grand houses of worship, endeavoring to surpass one another or to outdo one another in numbers and other ways. Here are the helps and hints for the teacher of this lesson. Much of this night had been spent by Jesus without sleep in instituting the Lord's Supper, as we have seen, in solemnly teaching and warning his disciples in prayer. Before instituting and after instituting the Lord's Supper, much was said to his disciples before they left that upper room. John 13 through 17 will be read with deeper interest and greater helpfulness and clearer understanding when we consider the circumstances under which they were spoken. Following this example, Jesus, it is not out of order to deliver exhortations before or after taking the Lord's Supper. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, into which he entered himself and his disciples. And now let's look at the explanatory notes of our text. We begin with Mark chapter 14, 32 and 33. And they come to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. The heading, the subheading for this part of the lesson is Alone in Prayer with God. Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples, we see in John 18:2, and it was as his custom was, Luke 22 and verse 39. The owner of the garden was doubtless a friend to Jesus. Having reached the garden, Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." 8 of them remained there. Jesus desired to be alone with God in prayer. His deep and abiding interest in his disciples is seen from the fact that in the severest trials of his life and deepest troubles of his soul, he had their future peace and welfare at heart. He was a tearful, supplicant Savior, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3, by whose stripes we are healed, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. In deep earnest and faith, in God, one now desires at times to be alone with God in prayer, in the closet, in the still hours of the night, in solitude, some where the heart yearns to draw near to God in prayer. And leaving the eight, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him and went further into the garden. These three, remember, were with Jesus in the chamber when he raised Jairus, his daughter, and on the Mount of Transfiguration. This selection of Jesus, of these three disciples, was not partiality or favoritism. These three were prepared and fitted for this. The text says that he began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. His natural vigor was overcome by sorrow, and he was oppressed and even overwhelmed by anguish of spirit. This began to be apparent to his disciples. Jesus said his soul is sorrowful, even unto death. We read in Mark chapter 14 in verse 34, and he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. This explains the sorrow and agony of the preceding verse, and means that unless he has found relief, death would ensure. His betrayal was at hand. The mock trial was just before him, and the shadow of a horrible death on the cross was upon him. As he was more than human, he felt all this with more than human sensibility, while the temptation came upon him and all the weakness of humanity. In this one hour were crowded all the horrors, cruelty, shame, and death of the cross, the wickedness and treachery of Judas, the desertion of the 11, the hypocrisy and crime of the Jewish leaders, the rejection by the race of their only Savior, together with the sins of the whole world, were all upon him and overwhelmed him with sorrow. Who for his own self bare the sins in his body upon the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. He was tried and he died as a criminal between thieves. He suffered the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Not simply from the physical suffering of death did he shrink, but his divine nature felt more keenly than mortals can know the horror and the awfulness of sin and the calamity of his trial and the crucifixion. He was despised and rejected by men, was bruised and put to grief for the sins of others. He desired human sympathy. In Matthew 26 and verse 38, he said, Abide ye here and watch with me. In this hour of agony, Jesus desired human sympathy. He had encouraged and comforted his disciples in every hour of trouble and weakness. But now he desired them to watch with him, that he might not be disturbed by the traitor and the mob in his hour of communion with God. And we read about Jesus' attitude in prayer. In verse 35 of Mark 14, we read, And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. He went about a stone's cast, Luke says, in Luke 22 and verse 41. He would be entirely alone. First, as Luke says, he knelt down and prayed. But then, as Matthew states, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. This is the lowest attitude of prayer, and expresses a feeling of helplessness, humility, and entire dependence upon God. In prayer, one goes to God in reverence, awe, and humility, and the attitude naturally expresses the feelings and the condition of the heart. We're going to conclude this now, and we'll pick up in our next class about how prayer must be in faith from the heart.